Ja, jag sitter tillsammans med Axel Olsson i Omaha, Nebraska. Han var född 1898 den 4 maj i Trelleborg, Sverige. Och kom till Amerika 1926. Och vi idag den 26 juli 1985. So, can you tell me a little bit about your parents? Now, were you born?
My parents. My mother, she was born in Småland. And you know, at that time, they came down to Skåne and took some in a ton land, betor, soccer betor, to take care of in the summertime, and in the fall to take them up in the fall. And they always had a man, a gang, took them down there. And he kind of was a foreman for them.
Both women and the boys.
Right.
I mean, girl.
Yeah, well, she was a young lady, a young girl then.
Oh.
And all her sisters came down there after that. She had five sisters. They worked on the same place, all of them, but different time. And my dad, he worked on a farm, as my mother did too, after she had been down there for so many years and did this work as I told you about. So they worked together. Mother, she was 21 when she was married, and my dad was 25. But after that, after they married, they went back to Trelleborg, to town there. And he knew the town because he was born and raised there. And he got his job. They bought a house there, along the water there. And
did he work in the beet fields too?
No. He worked on a farm. And she did too after that. She had been there down in Skåne for a few years. She stayed down there. That's the reason that all her sisters and the brothers came down there too. And he got a job as a... He drove a bread truck, you know, out in the country. That's long, many years ago. They had two horses and a bread wagon, and he drove around in Sweden and or in the country and sold bread. And he knew everybody there, you know, because he was born and raised, so he knew everybody around town there. And he liked his whiskey, and he got too much of that sometime. And sometime, that's what my mother told me all this now. He got too much whiskey sometime, but the horses, they knew themselves. He laid in the wagon, drunk as a, you know.
So the horses, they knew better.
And the horses, they knew their way home. He didn't have to, he just laid a drunk in the car. And the boss or the owner of the bakery, he had to loan him money to buy that house he had. There was a duplex. So my mother's brother, he lived in half of the house. He was down there too. And so he didn't know who he had sold bread to. He couldn't. No, he couldn't, he didn't know how much he had sold or nothing, so he got way in the hole there. So the fellow that had loaned the money, or the boss, he wanted to protect his money, so he put a lien against, so he wouldn't lose his money. I don't know what they call it now.
I know what you mean. In other words, they had to protect themselves, so he didn't.
And he sold the house. Everything.
How many children were you then at that time?
We were five kids.
Five kids.
Yeah.
And you were born too?
Yeah, I'm the second one.
Oh, I see.
Now I'm the oldest, but I had a brother. But
did you help your dad too in this bakery delivery?
No, I wasn't that old. I was just at that time when I'm talking about now, I was only 4 or 5 years old.
Oh, I see.
At this time I'm talking now. So then he had to move out on the farm as a starter, right to a starter. And he drove a team of horses, you know, in Sweden there. Even if they had about a couple of 100 acres or tundland, the farmer himself, he didn't work at all. But they took that much help, 4 or 5 hired hands, to work the ground and farm it. And then another one to take care of the cows, and you know what I mean.
Yeah. So your mother helped out too then, to be a starter?
Yeah.
They both helped out. She was milking the cows perhaps?
No, not at that time. No. Later on. And so they had to move out on the farm, yeah. And he worked like that, as I told you now, for a couple of years. But then he started, so that's a Rykdal, a bit of a Rykdal,
yeah.
And my mother, she helped milk the cows too. And he took care of all the cows, and 40, 50 cows they had to take care of them and milk them. And I was just a kid in that. When he started that, I was just about 5 or 6 years old. And the time went along.
You had the house right on the farm then?
No, they had a long house. There were 5 or 6 families lived in that house, full of lice and everything. So you know, it wasn't a bed of roses those days.
There was no pest control.
No.
So you remember those years, though?
I remember it. I remember up to about 6 years old or 5 years old. Not all of it, but my mother, she. But after 6 years old, I think I can remember most of it. And then when we grew older, I had to help my dad.
With the cows?
Yeah, and all that. And sometimes he got too much whiskey, and he after I got up to 10, 11 years old, I had to take care of everything now. He lay drunk.
Where did he get the whiskey then? On the
well, you know, they had at that time, they had all the whiskey they wanted. At that time. Later on, there was...
Did the other workers drink too on the job or got drunk?
Huh?
Did the other starter too drink, got drunk? Well,
maybe some of them did, I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. Yeah, and then I was... and then, of course, when I had that 12, 13 years old, the nest got too small, so they had to push me out to work for farmers. They hired me out to a farmer. The first time I hadn't quit school then. I worked from March to June, going to school every day and take care of all the farmers' cows I worked for. And later on, after school was out, I had to take a team of horses and then he had another kid, a year younger than I, and they took care of my job I had.
So you were a man then?
I was a man when I was 12, 13 years old.
You did a man's job?
I did, yeah.
So, yes, how much did you get paid then? Could you keep that money?
Well, no. Well, I was hired out for 80 counts.
A month?
80 counts for the whole time, for 8 months. 10 counts a month. And Martha Louis.
Could you keep that money in?
Well, yes, I could keep in money. But I had to buy clothes for them. Buy clothes for most of the money. So they were hired out up to 24th of October. You know, and Mikkelsen.
Yes,
yeah. And During the summer, this farmer that I worked for, he had loaned me out to some other farmer he knew. There was threshing, and I helped him out for a day. And you know, he paid me 2 crowns for that day, that farmer. And I remember all this stuff, you know. And then when the 4th October came, my farmer that I worked for, he wanted me to stay a day over because I had worked for the other farmer and was paid 2 crowns. But I didn't want to do it, so he took off 2 crowns for me on my wages. So do you know that?
It was tough going.
It was tough going then.
So after the 24th of October, they didn't want you anymore?
Then I also had to go to the and last after Preston to be confirmed.
And they started in the end of October?
Huh?
They started at the end of October?
Yeah.
And do you stay at home then?
I stay at home then in over the winter when I went to last after Preston.
What were you doing then for...
Then I had to take care of most of the cows, you know, help my dad and...
Well, your father was the starter.
Yeah, and milk the cows. Sometimes
did
I had 9, 10 cows to make. No, I didn't get paid for them when I was living at home. And then after that, I was confirmed that I was to go back to the farm. They hired me out to a farmer's, and I was to a farmer. I worked to a farmer till I was 18 years old. And after I was about 14 or 15, 14 I guess it was, my dad, he bought a house not too far from the farm that he worked. He bought a house with three land yard. So he had a cow, he raised a cow and a couple of pigs a year. Because there were still four of them home. We were two boys, they were out working for farmers then. And then the third boy, he started learning, this was outside of Eslöv, just about 6 kilometers outside of Eslöv. So it was easy to walk back and forth, but he went into Eslöv, he's a boy, he was 2 years younger than I am, and he started to work, learning the painter trade. So he was there for that painter, learning his trade. And you know, he stayed with that painter till he let my brother take over the shop. And he died, and of course my brother, he kept on painting too. He's still living too.
So how about your parents now? How did they...
Their parents, they lived in that house. There's a house in there that's used resembles my house where I left in Sweden.
It does.
This house. That resembles that. You have a house like that.
You mean they were a starter house?
No.
They
was their own house.
Their own house, yeah.
They bought it later on.
Do you know how they look like?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she does too, because she saw it.
Yeah.
But
it
comes later on.
So, he started a house, and there were 7 families, you said, living together in a big...
I don't know if there were 6 or 7, but at least 5.
Oh.
But I was only a kid then. I was just 3, 4 years old
and
then.
And they had kids to the other family?
Yeah, I had kids. All of them had kids.
So you all played together then?
All played together, yeah.
What did you do then? Did you have fights and...
I guess we did. I don't know.
You don't want to remember?
Well, I don't remember that far.
Do you remember if it was hard times sometimes?
Oh, sure, it was hard times.
In what way? You mean Did you have enough to eat?
Well, you know, the sultan, he had so many foot of ground, he had to plant potatoes on. There was his part of his radius.
Yes.
And he had so many liter of milk.
Well, you know,
yeah.
Was it enough, you think?
No, it wasn't in Manhattan, because there was too many. We had too many kids.
Oh, I see.
And then there came some more kids after that. We were four or five kids then, and then came a sister of mine. She's 80 years old now. I remember when she was born. I don't remember. Yeah, I remember when she was born. But you know, when they started, they had to take on for so many acres of bait or to care of, so they would make extra money. And my mother, she was, you know, she could work in the spring, but not in the fall. In the fall, I remember my sister was born, and so I was five years old then. I had to be out with my dad in the evening, because he took care of the job in the evening after his days was work, in the moonlight, and he had a little kerosene light with him. So that's the way, hard at times like that. It's kind of hard.
So daylight was to work on the big farm?
Right. Drive the team of horses and do things whatever we're supposed to do, like the four or five.
Was it a big farm then?
It was a big farm with 200 acres, 200 ton land. Well, that's about 400 acres. And?
And there was work every day of the week? Did he have Sunday off?
Well, as long as he drove a team of horses, they had Sunday off. Not every Sunday, but they had most of the Sunday. After he took the job as a rector, then he had to work 7 days a week.
7 days a week?
Yeah.
You
rector
på
söndag med? Oh, yeah. Sure, they had to feed the cows and milk.
Ja, men
rector
dem? Du did det on Sunday
too? Yeah, they did that too.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was a steady job. Do you remember now if you went to church on Sunday?
We never did go to church.
Never?
Never did go to church. No.
None of the others either?
My dad, he never did go to church. My mother, she was kind of religious, and she's brought up that way in Småland. But my dad, he never did. So we never did go to church before when we went to confirmation. Yeah, then we had to go to church every Sunday, as long as we were going to the confirmation class.
Did everybody go to church to be confirmed of your classmates?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
But other than that, they never
After the confirmation, nobody went to church.
So you did
in my family, and in most of the families too in Sweden.
So you didn't see the pastor too often then?
Huh?
You didn't see the pastor too often?
No, no.
No?
No.
You had no reason to see him?
No. That's not.
He never made any house calls?
No. No. You know, the year, you know, what do you call it? The church belonged to
the state.
The state, yeah. No. The state church. We paid after I got to be 15 years old. I remember we had to pay into the church a tax.
So you remember that?
Yeah, a tax. We had to pay 3-4 crowns. That's all we paid. And I don't know how to. I guess they got enough money into to run the church that way.
Yes. So how about the? Did you have any other churches, like the Missionshus?
Yeah, they had that in the cities, yeah. Not out of nowhere.
But not on the countries?
No.
Inga Baptist?
They had Frälsnings, I mean. Salvation Army.
So then, Did you go to the military service then after?
Well, and then I, yeah, they come, it's coming. So then after I was 18 years old and quit the farm work, I went up to Göteborg and worked in a shipyard there in Götaverken. And I worked there, I worked with everything. I quit there after I had been, I guess I was homesick from the, even if we had a hard time in being so many kids at home.
You still want to go home?
Yeah. But I stayed there for quite a while. But then I did all kinds of work. I worked in blacksmith shops. And then later on I worked in a place in a, where they built ships, Götaverken, near Skåne.
Göteborg?
No, it was in Landskrona.
Oh, Landskrona. Oh, they had the Götaverken there, no?
Yeah. Oh. I worked there for a couple of years. And like I said, I worked a little bit of everything, working in the woods. And, let's see, how old am I? Yeah, I was just before I had to go into the military. And then we had to go into the military, and had to go in there for 6 months at that time. And after I came back from the military, well, like I said, I worked with everything. I worked in the building, on buildings, and I was tending to bricklayers, and you had a lot of hard work there. Common labor.
Were you the only one from Trelleborg, you're down to your place? Did you have any friend with you from the...
No.
You were alone?
Yeah. After it was around 1925, my uncle, he lived here in Omaha. That's my mother's brother. They were all down there. All of them. There was 7 or 8 kids. And let's see. He talked me into go here. I had a little money, but not much, and he loaned me the rest of it to get there. That was in 25. He came home to Sweden in 25 to Christmas. His name was Hilding Håkansson. So I lived with, I came here, and I lived with him for about 4 or 5 months. So I had paid back my, but I owned him. I owned him 600 crowns. I don't remember how much it was in dollars.
How did you get about not to, you bought your ticket in Sweden though, did he buy the ticket for you?
No, I bought it myself.
You bought it in,
yeah. But the way he helped me in a way, because if I had to go through the regular channels, it would take me a whole year to get in here. But if you went to a farm as a farmhand, you could get in there right away. You could paper right away almost.
So you had to go to a farm then for a...
So he had his wife. She had she knew a farmer in Oakland, Nebraska. So Ekdahl, I think his name was. So he, I was supposed to come to him, but I didn't go there. This is just a way to get in here sooner. And Ekberg was his name, yeah.
So he signed the paper then?
He helped me with the papers. whatever he did, I don't know. But he helped me with the papers, so I was supposed to go with him at the time when he went back. But it was a little. I didn't have all my papers ready then, so I had to go with the following boat. The boats were running then.
Did you leave from Copenhagen or?
No, I left from the Göteborg.
Göteborg.
Yeah.
On what boat then, Drottningholm?
I don't know if it was Drottningholm or Stockholm. I don't remember that. I guess I don't remember that. I think it was Stockholm. There was the name of the boat.
And they went straight to New York?
Straight to New York, yeah.
And when you came there and to Ellis Island, was Ellis Island closed?
No, I had to go through there. We came in the 7th. 7th of April. 1926, and towards the evening, where we had to stay on the boat to the following day. Then they had a ferry come and picked us up and took us to Ellis Island. And we spent most of the day there to go through all our papers and doctors and everything, you know, that they go through. Towards the evening, they took us to the different place, to different railroad stations where we're supposed to go distribute here in this country. And there was a lot of fellows that was going out to California, so and girls too. So I thought I would go with them, had them to go with to get to Omaha, because, you know, the straight shoot to Omaha. But no, I didn't get there. They just took me and a girl. The girl was from Helsingborg, Sweden, and she was going to Kansas City, and I was going to Omaha, and they took me way around. I don't know what stopped in Philadelphia. And we sat there, and then a lady came and took us off the train, and we had to sit there, and she locked us in a jail there. Oh, it's almost like a jail, you know, you sit down and wait. Of course, you had to do it, but so they didn't lose you. So I put us on another train, went to St. Louis. There she took us off of the train again, and the girl, She was going to Kansas City, and I would go to Omaha. And they put me on a train, and it was the wrong train, I found out later on, because after I had been on a train for about an hour or so, it took me off the train again. And I didn't think it was right, so I said, no, I don't want to go. Well, they knew I wouldn't want to go out, but they finally got me out. Brunswick was the place that place of the season where they had took me off, and I was supposed to be here in Omaha the day before.
So you lost the day, that's nowhere.
Yeah, because they sent me around, way around.
What happened to the girl from Kansas City?
Well, you know, she had when we left New York. They bought a lunch box, and they lasted for 3 days.
3 days?
There wasn't much in them, but we didn't eat none of us.
Well, you were told it was supposed to last.
No, they didn't tell me what. They cost a dollar, that lunch, says lunch, and I had to last it for 3 days before we couldn't eat or nothing. The girl had such a headache, so no, not headache, toothache. So she couldn't eat at all, and I didn't really feel like eating either, because, you know, when you come to, you're all worried about things.
Did you have any food packed with you in the suitcase from Sweden?
No, we didn't have to have that, because...
What did you pack now when you left Trelleborg?
Left. We lived in Eslo then.
In Eslo, yeah. What did you pack then when you left for America? Did you pack anything special, clothing or?
No, I just what I had on me. Just what I had on me, that's all. And I had my mom, she gave me the Bible.
It was packed on?
Yeah.
How about an overcoat? Did you have an overcoat?
I had an overcoat. It was in winter time, see? And they had to...
Detta är sidan nummer två. Det är fortsättning på intervjun med Axel Olsson om Hanna Breska. Det är jag den 26 juli 1985. Sidan nummer två, kassett nummer ett. Så... what did the pastor tell you now when you went up to him to ask for flyttningsbetyget?
Ja. Yeah. I don't remember what he said.
He never seen you before since confirmation.
No.
There was a new pastor in Eslöv.
Yeah, there was another pastor, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he didn't
He hadn't seen me, but I had seen him. So I knew him. You know, at that time, they had a press guard. Called a press guard. And there was still wages, the minister's wages.
Yes.
And he had to arrendera ut the press guard and some other farmer.
Yes.
And so that whatever he got from that,
it was his
wages. Oh. Yeah.
So were there more people on the same boat now than you from your area? Were you the only one from?
No, we were. Oh, I don't. We were 600-700 on the boat.
On the boat, but there was no one specific for your area.
Yeah, there were several of them, and not my friends, no. But other you got acquainted with right away because they had to go in a certain place to go to and go into the boat and so on. I never knew anybody that, none of my friends, but they got to be friends later on.
So it was bad times in Sweden at that time, then 26. It was hard to get a job.
Yeah, I had work a little now and then.
But you decided to leave?
I decided to leave, yeah.
And your father, now what did he say about it?
Well, you know, they took it hard, both of them. But I had decided to go. My uncle, he just talked me into going there, and like I said, I didn't have no trade of any kind. Like my other brother later on, they learned trade, and. Then I came in on a Saturday night, 12 o'clock, April the 10th.
To Omaha?
To Omaha, just before 12 o'clock. Next morning, we went to church. I had to go to church with my uncles, and they went to church every Sunday here.
They were religious?
Yeah.
And your uncle's name was?
He was Hilding Håkansson. Yeah. He belonged out to a church in Omaha. And then he got me a job for a Swede. He was a cement contractor, putting sidewalks and cement floors and things like that. He paid me 45 cents an hour, and worked for him for 2-3 weeks, and we put in some sidewalks for him on the place. This contractor, he was German. He knew I was came from Sweden, you know. So he wanted me to work as a carpenter, and which was good. It was all right for me. So I worked for about 3 months with him. But then I quit him because my uncle, he got me another job he knew a Swedish fellow here. His name is Ruben Ekström. He was a foreman for Skogman. Was his name? He was a duplex. He built many duplexes, and he gave me a job. So I was there. I quit the other German and started with Sal Swede. But he went broke, this here guy, so after a year, the following year, it was me and another fellow Swede, we left for Rockford, Illinois.
What kind of worker were you? A carpenter?
I was learning to be a carpenter.
You didn't try it in Sweden?
No.
Oh, but you, the German, he thought you were a Swede, you got to be a carpenter.
Yeah.
So you started to help out then on the jobs with the saw and the hammer and the square.
Yeah.
And learned it day by day.
Yeah. I worked up on the 52nd and Leavenworth here in Omaha. We built three duplexes next to each other on 52nd, and they're still standing there. Every time I go by there, I think of that. I only been there for a few months at that time. But because they're all Swedes working for him, so you all talk Swede on the job.
So you had no trouble then to start as a carpenter?
No, I had no trouble, no. But times getting to be tough here too, you know, because the contractor, he went broke. So another fellow and me, we left for Rockford and went there, tried to get work. And we did get work. He did. He had a fellow, he was younger than me, so he, there was a contractor from, had come in from Iowa into Rockford, and just started up, so he needed an apprentice. So he put him on as an apprentice, but I had to work as a laborer. I worked as a laborer for him for a while, and then later on, I tried to get work as a carpenter, but there was in, this was 1927 when I went to Rockford. In 28, they were building a bridge over Rock River there in Rockford, Illinois. Yes. The bridge over the water was there, but the approach from the east side up to the bridge wasn't there. I got a job there as a building forms for the concrete, you know. And this was in 28, in the winter time. And there was not a non-union job at the time when I started. And they had trouble. They wanted to be a union, to keep union men there. And I don't know how they did it, but anyway, they picked out the boss there. He picked out me and another Swede to join the union. They even paid to join it there in Rockford. They paid for that because they were having trouble with something, but they demanded somebody that had to be union men there.
And it was enough to just keep two on it?
Huh?
So only two on there?
Well, as a union, but the rest of them were a non-union. Yeah.
And the union then went along with that?
I guess they did.
So you became a union man then?
I became a union man, only been a year.
And as a carpenter,
and I tried to hold up my end, but it was hard, you know, being a union man, looking for union work. It's a carpenter.
Did you get more pay than per hour?
Oh yeah, sure. They paid more. They paid more.
How much more?
Huh?
How much more?
Oh, I don't remember what it was. It's different, you know. But anyway, I made pretty good money. I was there for about 8-9 months. I was 28. It was all done in the close Christmas. You know, I went home at that time in Sweden to stay.
In 1928?
I had only been 2.5 years. Then I went home to stay because I had made good money, and I paid back my debt I had from my uncle, and I had money so I could go home to Sweden and money so I could go back here again. Used to being here for two and a half years, which they thought in home in Sweden was something remarkable.
So they were glad to see you back then in Sweden.
Yeah, but I didn't stay. I had stayed home for a while, but then I went up to Göteborg and worked at Götaverken again. I worked there for a while.
How long? A year?
I didn't know. Oh, I stayed home from Christmas to June, so it wasn't too long.
Then you went back here again?
And I went back here again.
So when you started?
In June 29.
So, how was the situation in Sweden at Götaverken at that time, 1929? Was it bad for workers, or were they unionized?
It was unionized.
Götaverken?
Yeah. Yeah, you had to have a union book.
But it was
to
easy
get in there.
It was easy for you to get in there.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, they needed people there, so. I worked as a carpenter then.
So, what happened then in June?
Huh?
Did you have a return billet to America, or?
No, I didn't have a return, but I had money so I could buy a ticket back again. And I even and went to Rockford, see? I left Rockford and came back to Rockford.
Uh-huh.
And I even, after I had been in, you know, that was in 29. Well, I didn't know that everything started to go backwards then. So the,
you didn't notice anything?
Huh?
You didn't notice anything on the workplace and so on? Everything was going all right?
Used for a year or so, but then it went, depression started in. Then, no work. I bought a car too when I came back here.
So you had quite a bit of money then?
Well, I don't know if I paid it. I paid 250 crowns for it. Not dollars. 250 crowns, the dollars. I don't know if I had the money or I just took it on payment. I think I did.
You needed a car?
Yeah. But you know, I didn't even have to have a driver's license at that time. In 29. Never had driver's license. I never. You could drive, go ahead and drive.
How did you learn to drive?
I didn't. I bought the car, I couldn't drive. There was a fellow going back home to Sweden, he wanted to get rid of it. Durant, no, not Durant. The car was 3-4 years old. And but I didn't have that. Yeah, I had it, but drove around the following year because no work to be had there in Rockford.
So there was bad times there, and many.
And it started to be bad times. So I went around. Another fellow and I, we went looking for work. We're heading from Minneapolis, and we went to a place, Chatefield. I remember the name of that, Chatefield. They were building a big church there, the form work for the foundation. They were starting on it. And I was there, we worked there for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks maybe. We were laid off. We were heading for Minneapolis. We went to Hastings, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And there we were building an elevator. And then we stopped in there and put us on there for a few days. And then they laid us off, and we went to Minneapolis. My friend, he got a job there. He got a job, just a short job. It lasted for a week or two. And I stayed there with him. I didn't work. Couldn't get any. So we went, after he got done, laid off, so we went back to Rockford. And then things got tougher and tougher there. I sold my car and went to Omaha again. It was 1930 in the fall. I wasn't married then.
You're single.
Single, yeah.
You didn't have a girlfriend in Sweden that you visited in 1927?
No. And see, what was, yeah, and then you know, it, I worked here off and on, and there was friends I knew here in Omaha. He was a painter. Him and I, we were trying to work our way back to Sweden on a boat, trying to hitchhike from here to Sweden or to New York.
Yeah.
We only got to Chicago, and he got what do you call it? Cold feet, yeah.
Okay.
He got cold feet. He didn't.
Didn't ever go to
Baltimore. No. So he went back to Omaha by himself.
How did you hitchhike? With the train or?
The first day when we started hitchhiking here from Omaha to New York, we took the highway.
Yes.
We only got to Emerson, 60 miles out of here at. From Omaha, 60 miles in a day. But we waited, came a freight train at night. We took a freight train at night in open railroad cars, you know, that had been coal in.
You sat in there?
We sat in there, and we rode all night. It was coming way up to Boone, Iowa. You know where that is?
Yes.
And we got off there, went to a cafe, and that old fellow, he had a couple of dollars, and I didn't have, maybe had a few dollars too then. And the girl that we asked for this and that, you know, so stale bread and all that stuff.
Cheaper kind.
Yeah. And the girl there in the cafe, she knew we wasn't real bums, but we told her we were. And she didn't charge for the coffee and the rolls that morning. She didn't charge for it. No. You know? But we had to go in, and did go in bakeries and ask for stale bread, stale rolls and whatever they had, and we got it. Everybody was bumming the freight then, at that time.
Was there a lot of travelers like
oh,
that?
Oh yeah, the trains were full of them then. So they didn't chase about a train.
Where did you sleep then during the night, if you could? On the railroad cars or?
Slept on the train and the cars. We used to travel He used to travel at night.
Well, not in the daytime?
No.
So if they had caught you, then you had to, what would happen then?
Huh?
If they had caught you at the railroad stations, what would happen then?
If they had what?
If they had caught you riding the train.
Oh, well, they did catch me. I happened to, you know, when he left me in Chicago, I walked most of the time from most of the way from Chicago to Rockford, which is 90 miles in between there. Maybe I rode half of the way, but walked at least 45 miles. And I got there. I had been there, worked before, and I had to go to the contractor I had been working for to get his name on it so I could check in on a flop house. They got the soup line and the furnishing us with a bed there, but I got lousy a couple of times there. And
you didn't have any
I stayed there from this was in November. I stayed there to spring. Went back here to Omar again. And then that night when I left Rockford for Omaha to catch the train, it was kind of chilly. It was getting to be cold. It was in November too. No, it was in spring. And it was cold anyway, so I was waited around there in the railroad yard. So I went in the car, it was open there, went back, walked back and forth, walked back to keep warm to the coming train. Then the railroad deck, they called detective, he came and the flashlight and shone in my eyes, I couldn't see who it was, and he had a gun, and he said he would shoot me if I didn't come down right away. And I did, and he saw I wasn't a real bum, and that we stood and talked, so we got friends before I left him, and he told me how to do it, take it the next morning.
So he told you to take a train next morning?
Yeah, and I did.
And they were only open cars?
No, it was closed cars. I had a little experience then, you know, for riding freight trains. We always looked for a train that, you know, that you could close.
But it was still cold in there, though.
Yeah, it was. Because, you know, even if it was in the summer times, it was cold because the speed of the train, you know, did that. I came back to Omaha. I didn't have the money to come back to Omaha. I checked in. Yeah, I had it. I had some, I guess. I checked in there in the Salvation Army here down on 10th Street someplace in Omaha. I didn't go to my uncle then at night because I got off in Council Bluff and walked over the bridge to cost the nickel then to walk over the bridge. And I paid 25 cents for bed, sleep that night in Salvation Army.
So what do you get the money now after being from November to spring? I mean, you had no work.
Well, it worked once in a while. I could get a job. That fella, Ruben Ekstrom, there was a Swedish boss I worked for. He was a religious man. The Salvation Army, they had, because he had to give my name when I had a bed at Salvation Army. And told him you had been there before and all that, and they had called him up. And by God, he gave me a job for 3 weeks coming in here. But I don't remember the wage I had, but I was glad to get the job. And I stayed with my uncle then for about 3 weeks. So...
What was he doing, your uncle?
He was the... He took care of the gardener. Yeah, gardener.
Oh, gardener.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he must have had plenty to do for you.
No.
No?
No, he didn't have anything. He used him for himself. Okay. He didn't hire anybody. He used boy for himself.
What about the slaughterhouses down on 24th Street? They didn't have anything either.
I did, later on, I did. After I was married, I worked down there. Oh. I remember.
So, after we go into that, though, you came back to Omaha then, and then you stayed on. You never went back to Sweden again?
No. No, I didn't.
You came to Chicago?
They wanted me to come back. My parents wanted me to come back. You would try to get the money together some way. Because they knew I was tough to you. But I didn't. I was ashamed to come back the way, you know, that way.
And you didn't have any job lined up in Sweden either?
No. No, it was hard there too, I think. That's the way it is. And then, but then finally here in Omaha, I got a job. After been loafing and been in bread lines and soup lines and whatnot, I got a job in a hotel here, Hotel Cornant, on 16th and Harney Street here, as a maintenance carpenter, fix everything that went wrong there, you know, doors that didn't work right and windows didn't work right and keys, I had to make keys for all the, so on, and I had $80 a month, which was pretty good, but in that time, I thought. So I stayed there for 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
Steady work?
Huh?
Steady work?
Yeah. And then I quit. I was courting my wife too then, the time I worked there in a hotel.
How did you meet your wife now?
Well, he worked in the park. I met her in the park.
We saw each other in the church, mission church or whatever.
Oh. So you started to go to church then after you came back here?
Yeah, I did.
Did you join the church then?
No, I didn't join. I didn't join before after we were married. I joined out in California in the church there.
Oh. You went out to California also?
Yeah, I was out there after we were married. We went out there. This was in 37. We went out there. I had a 28 Chevy. And we started out for California in that car. And we got it. Took us 5 days to get there.
Well, that was not bad.
5 days to get to Oakland, California. It's just such the side of San Francisco.
Was that a sightseeing tour, or were you looking for a job?
No, it was just looking for work.
And you had your wife with you?
Yeah, we were married then.
She was ready to settle down?
We had been married for a year then.
And she didn't have a job here in Omaha?
Yeah, she worked before we were married, yeah. Not after we were married, no.
So she quit then?
Oh, yeah, before she married, yeah.
She thought like this, now I have a husband, he's the one who's going to work and I stay home. Did they usually do that when they married, that the wife...
Well, they didn't do that as much then. Oh. No, this is 50 years ago. They didn't do that then. No.
So you took this long trip out there and...
We stayed out there for 12 years. I bought a house out there.
And 12 years?
12.
You got a job there in Oakland?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I worked there as a carpenter. No, yeah, I guess it was 12, 11 years, I think it was. And then we came back. Then we went to Sweden. That's right. We had two kids then. One was 5 and one was 10. And we sold the house we had. had a house. I bought the house out there for $2,200.
What year?
1939, I think it was. And we sold it. When we sold it, I got close to 10,000 for it, because things were getting better then.
Oh.
So we went up there to her parents in Strandsburg, Nebraska. He was on a farm. So our boy, he stayed there with her parents over the winter and went to school, and we went to Sweden in 1944.